Okay, now we got it. Good. But we have all seven council members present, and so we have a quorum, as the clerk notes. We go on to the vision statement, and I'll just go ahead and read that one tonight. We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources, with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions. So that's what we're all about here. We'll move on to approval of minutes, and that would be the minutes of the February general meeting, February 13, 2023. And Councilmember Moskowiak has a motion on this one.
I move we approve the minutes of the past meeting there. I'm sorry, I can't read my cheat sheet here.
Okay, do we have a second for it's been moved to approve the minutes of the February 13, 2023 meeting.
I second.
And we have a second from Councilmember Lewis. And so it's been moved and seconded to approve those minutes. Do any members of the public wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes as presented? They're in the packet. I'm not seeing any hands popping up. Do any council members wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes tonight? Okay, sounds like they're all pretty good. Are there any objections to approving the minutes by unanimous consent? Okay, hearing none, the motion to approve the minutes of the February 13, 2023 general meeting are approved by unanimous consent. The next is mayor's request for agenda changes, and I don't have any suggestions for changing the agenda for any reason. Does anybody have anything they wish to reorder for any reason? Or okay, if not, then we'll call the agenda set as presented, and we'll move on to staff reports. And the first is from the Gustavus Public Library, their quarterly report. We have librarian Leanne Weichel with us this evening. Welcome, Leanne.
Thank you, Mike. Good evening, City Council. It's great to be here. I have never been live and in person, so this is a nice treat. I've always been on Zoom. I look forward to the quarterly staff report. I'm pretty excited about what we're doing at the library. I'm really proud of it. Jesse and I are working really hard. So the first thing on the report that you were sent is our library statistics, just keeping track of how many visitors, books checked out, what we're doing with digital material, all of that. And our numbers are good. Our numbers are strong. Jesse and I are entering our second year at the end. Our second year anniversary will be at the end of May and end of June. And I look at where we were when her and I first started, where the library is essentially closed and you could get curbside checkout, to all the programs that are happening now and the events. And it feels really good. I hope that the city staff and the council are pleased too. If you look at the next part, past, current, and upcoming programming, I'm not going to read all of it, but we're pretty excited about a couple of things that are coming up. We're partnering with the Gustavus Community Center to sponsor the Knote Brothers coming. I didn't know who they were until I looked them up on YouTube, and they're really impressive musicians, and they have a great style that I think will reach across all the generations. And They're even having a movie made about themselves, which is pretty cool. Hmm. So the library's role in that is that they've agreed to join the Everybody Welcome Library Band on Thursday when they're here that weekend, which is pretty awesome, and will be fun for the people that come to that. And then on Friday, we're sponsoring an in-service for the kids from the Gustavus School and our homeschoolers to come over and actually learn how to play ukulele. We're going to have those all tuned up and ready to go. And tonight we learned that the ASB kicked in some of the money towards that. So the library's putting in a lot. A large grant was written by the community center, and then the ASB has agreed to kick in a little money to cover all the costs. So it looks like it's 100% go, and we're excited about that. The other thing that we have coming up is this Sunday, our garden forum, and we're going to do our grand opening to our seed library. So we're hoping all of you can come. Everybody listening can come. It's from 5 to 7. A couple other highlights have been Legos with Annie. This has been incredible. It's been 2 months of preschool and Duplo Legos on Thursday mornings. And she does the most genius thing. She has tubs of Legos, big totes and tubs, and she has them all in sheets. So then you just take the whole sheet out and put it on the floor, and all the Legos are there and the kids can dive in. And it's honestly the best when the kids arrive because they're excited to see all those Legos. And then you look at all the inquiry that's happening and the problem solving and the thinking and the creativity and the designing with just kids working with Legos. It's pretty amazing. So a big thank you to Annie Mack for making that happen. Another highlight for both Jesse and I has been art club. She does the K-1 and I do the 2 through 5th grade. And we both just love that. I hope you'll read every single item on that list, but I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. I'm going to move on to our next number 2, status of active or upcoming grants. We are continuing to work to within the parameters of the Alaska Community Foundation grant that we were awarded a year ago. And the big focus of that are our library literacy camps. And they focus around ESTEAM, which stands for Environment, Science, Technology, Engineering, Art, and Math. With Jesse and I both having teaching backgrounds and degrees and licenses, it's an avenue for us to utilize the resources of the library, support kids, give them some awesome experiences, and get them outside. This summer, we have 3 library literacy camps planned, 1 for each month. One's a reader's theater camp, and then the second one is a book art camp, and the last one is a fish and fishing theme camp. We're pretty happy about that one. If you look ahead to the information about the PLA grant, which is Public Library Assistant Grant, we were awarded it for 2023. We've applied for it for 2024. We're very grateful for that grant because it allows us to really add to our materials collection and purchase more than what we could with our city budget. And a caution with that, that's something that we always keep our mind about, is that each year that's a little nebulous as if we'll actually receive the grant. It's not guaranteed. It's at the discretion of the Alaska state government. And hopefully they all continue to value libraries and keeping it in their grant, but it's not something that is guaranteed. And for that reason, we're very grateful for the fact that the city of Gustavus in our budget continues to have a materials section. It's important, and it's what we purchase new books and the DVDs and the different materials from. So that portion of our city of Gustavus budget is important. That's all I have to say about that. We are also planning and working on something called the Interlibrary Cooperation Grant, because we've been working with Alaska Technical Solutions on our patron computers. We have 5 of them. And they are more than 10 years old. They're actually closer to 13 years old, and they just don't update like we'd like them to. They're just out of date. And so we're hoping that we'll, through this grant opportunity, we'll be able to replace them. We're gonna downsize to 4. Usually 3 are full, sometimes 4, but very rarely are 4 computers full at the same time. So the 5th one is taking up some valuable real estate, and there's a better use of that space in the library. I hope you guys are enjoying the pictures. We believe a picture is worth 1,000 words. One of the things we're so excited about is people in the library. people reading and talking to each other and connecting about books and puzzles and games and spending time in the library. And a lot of kids are in the library doing those things. And it's just really, really nice to see. Third on the list is existing projects and programming. And I'm not going to go through all of them in great detail. We are planning on you reading that, but we're excited about a new council. It's called TACO, and it's TACO is for Teen Advisory Council. And this is a group of people from the library and the Gustavus Community Center and a few of the staff from the Gustavus School. And we're working to find out what the teens in Gustavus want and need and would benefit from. And we started by interviewing them and asking them. And it was very, very powerful, because some of them said, you know, no one's ever asked me that before. And so it was really good information. And now the next step is, what do we do with that? Where do we go with that information? And how do we put those programs in place for the library, the community center, the school, and wherever else? I know Larry Landry has his Adventure Club. And so he was really interested in the information, like, does Adventure Club include the kids that wanted something? And a big part of this is we're looking at, what are the roadblocks, you know, what's stopping kids from accessing the programs that are out there. So looking at that piece. There's a really good blurb in here about the Knope brothers and who they are. One of the last things I want to highlight is the summer reading program. It's coming. The state sets the theme, and this year it's Find Your Voice. It's amazing, because so much of literacy is about finding your voice, both as a reader, a writer, and an illustrator. Authors have already figured out how to tell their story, and we're going to do a lot of work around that, along with the ideas of the skills of assertion and advocating for yourself and for things that you believe in. Not as fun, but important, are the fact that it's been recommended that we need to start thinking about what to do with the boiler at the library. Mark has told us that it's still working. It's not dire, but he can no longer get the replacement parts that he wants. It makes some noises. There's not a lot he can do. So we've begun to investigate what to do about that. We're very interested in whatever moves the library make be very cost-effective. And would also like them to be reflective of the values of this community, that they are good for the environment. Or I don't think you can ever find perfect for the environment when you're talking about a heating source, but maybe better for the environment than what we've had up to this date. And maybe we can't do that, but we're going to look into it and we want to try. The other thing we've been looking at is there are portions of the carpet that are worn and snagged and torn. And we've cleaned the carpet in a spot, kind of did a test to see, like, if we clean the carpet, what does that help? It was pretty productive. So we are planning this summer to do a big cleaning project where we just move everything to one side, clean half of the library, move everything to the other side, clean the carpet on the other half of the library. There are some tiles that could replace some of the worn parts, and we're going to get that done. And then, those two things are the priority, because we asked, there was a carpet layer here in Gustavus. I think he was laying the carpet at the search clinic, and we asked him to give us a bid. And it's expensive to put new carpeting in the library. So we want to research everything we can do before asking for money for carpeting. So it's just an FYI that we're thinking about that. The last thing I want to talk about is. We want to acknowledge that we have the best volunteers. Our volunteers show up and they work hard and they ask for what they can do to help the library, and they take initiatives on their own. Shelley, one of our city council members, has helped us revamp our desk manual, which is like the how to be a desk volunteer and how to work at the library from opening and closing it. Sally McLaughlin comes in about once every other month and shifts all the kids' books. And that's important, because we ran a report, and the ones on the top shelf get checked out. The ones on the bottom shelf, no one will bend over to look at them. So we're shifting them. so that all books get an equal opportunity.
Good.
You know, we've had them asked to adopt a section. One volunteer said, you know, I used to volunteer in this library and I had a section that was mine and I just took great ownership with that. We've had a volunteer that really helped get our seed library. I mean, the list is endless and we're very grateful for them because without them, we couldn't do our job. Next is we continue to reach out to the school and offer support and programming. We're very encouraged by the new superintendent. He has interest in establish a memorandum of understanding with the library. And we're super interested in pursuing that with him too. Upcoming trainings. Jesse and I are grateful for the opportunity to attend the Alaska State Library Association Conference. It's gonna extend our knowledge and give us a chance to connect with our library contemporaries across the state. That's coming up at the end of March and we get to go to the wild and exotic, glamorous Fairbanks. other than that, I think, I know I'm speaking for both Jesse and I, we love being the library directors. I wanna share a compliment that was given to us. It was Artemis, if you're listening, she's the one who said this. She said, this library was started by a lot of great people. The library has had some amazing, amazing librarians. And Jesse and I don't think we're near that status yet, but the compliment was, she said, you know what? The two of you are the right librarians for this time. And that really felt good. So do you guys have any questions for me?
Yes. Do any council members have a question for our librarians?
I did jump over the killer whale part. Okay, so the amazing skeleton of the orca has been hanging in the library for a long time. And one of the things I always thought long before I worked there was that it kind of gets lost in the white ceiling. And so we have an opportunity right now because when Brian Waverly, longtime Gustavus beloved resident, passed away, his widow Alice had all the memorials from that time benefit the library with one condition. It had to have something to do with art. And so we're using the money from that to pay for a local artist, Jess Mulligan, to create a mural behind that will hopefully, I don't have a picture to share with you. She'll be back soon and then we will, but it will have a outline or actually have the whale painted in there. So when you look at the skeleton, you see the whale behind it. And then using her talent and her creativity around it, we're doing it on panels because while there are no immediate plans to expand the library, there's not talk of that. There's always the wish and want for someday maybe. We're doing it on Canvas panels because if we do ever expand the library, that's the way we would expand. We don't want to lose that art. So it's cost neutral as far as cost to the city. And we're very, very grateful to Alice Waverly. And anything else?
Great,
any questions
great addition
about
that? On that. Other questions? Okay.
No. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you. I did want to say that I'm really pleased to see the opportunity for us to work with other organizations and partner, like with the community center and the school on the taco thing. And that ties into one of the recommendations that came out of the Friday night meeting that Tanya organized for us on sexual abuse and so forth, in which there was a comment that teens didn't have enough to do and they need to find more things to do. And I think this is a start in that, and it's the kind of collaboration I'm really glad to see. And we'll also work with you on the heating system. And if you need help on the carpet cleaning, let us know.
We'll definitely
find
be
out
recruiting
how to get those
volunteers.
Key things done.
Yeah.
Okay,
great. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for the nice report.
You're welcome.
Keep up the great work at the library.
Thank you.
We're very proud of our library.
That's awesome.
Okay. And that will take us on to our city treasurer, Ben Sadler, with his monthly financials. Ben?
Thank you, Mike. Hello, everyone. For the last couple of months, for my monthly financials, I've given percentages of how we're moving through things. I don't know that's effective for everybody. So what I thought this month, what I would do is I would just point out a few dollar amounts to kind of show where those percentages are coming from. And so just a few. The first was in our tax income. Our tax income from last month to this month, we received over approximately $45,000. Our payroll expenses during that time were also approximately $44,000. And our road maintenance was approximately $34,000. And our expenses from last month to this month were $85,000. And so to give an idea of how things go over the winter, you know, this last month, the city brought in $45,000 just in tax revenue. We spent $85,000, of which $44,000 was payroll and $34,000 was snow plowing, or was road maintenance, mostly snow plowing. And so I think that is exactly how we would have expected it to go at this time of the year. And other than that, I really don't have a whole lot else to say. I was trying to get ready to help Karen, for Karen to teach me the process so that I will be able to run the meetings while she's gone in May. And so if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to offer some information, but I don't have anything else to say.
Questions for our treasurer from anybody? One thing I'd ask is, how's it look for our potential carryover at the end of the year? I think we're looking pretty strong here. I guess that would be down on the, you've got a total expense. We're below budget by, does that mean we're below budget by $549,000 on expense so far?
I was looking at the wrong one.
I'm not sure.
If we were to end the fiscal year today, we would be carrying over $431,383.
Okay. So we're in good shape.
Yes. Of that is the $300,000, the prior year cash balance was $300,000 that they carried over from the previous year. So you could take that out and say $131,383. But if we were just rolling money forward as we have in the past, that's what we'd be rolling forward.
And we're still hoping to get a good size FEMA check this fiscal year.
Exactly.
Kathy is working hard to get them to.
We're still $145,000. We're waiting on approximately $145,000 from the federal government.
Yeah. Okay. Any other questions? Councilmember Taylor.
Thanks for passing the mic over so I can talk to you at the same table. I can't remember if this was in the work session or the general session last month, or it might've been at the budget session, but I recall seeing that we had like a more or less excess of like 660 grand in unrestricted funds sitting in our checking. And it caught me off guard. I didn't even realize it until coming to the meeting tonight, but I was expecting to see, I guess that would be an NCO to move those funds so we could start the process. Is there a holdup on that or any news?
Yes. I apologize for that. I was planning on getting an NCO ready and I didn't have it ready for the work session. Then after the work session, I mentioned it to Mike and he said, you don't have to have it ready for the work session if you can get it ready for the general meeting. And now that Sol has all you distracted, I'll go away. It's my fault. I just wasn't able to get it done in time, but I will have it ready for the next general meeting.
Next meeting.
Yeah, my apologies.
Councilmember Owens.
And Ben, let's see, of that $131,000, is $100,000 accountable for the unexpended expenditures that were budgeted for FY23, like the disaster money and the so basically our carryover would be about 31,000 for FY23. Are we moving that 100,000?
We're moving the 100,000, so we'd be moving the 100 plus the 31 if we were moving it today.
Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Good. Other questions for the treasurer? Okay, thank you very much, man.
Thank you.
And thanks for working with the clerk to be prepared for May. Okay. That, I think, takes us to our city administrator, Kathy Leary, for her report. Which we have handed out here today.
Yes, sorry, I wasn't able to get it into the packet. I just wanted to talk about our budget preparations. Have been pretty much finalized, barring any major changes at the town hall or the upcoming meeting. It's our first time preparing the city's budget, both Ben and I, so the learning curve has been kind of steep, but we're getting through it. And I'd like to thank Ben for his perseverance and also the mayor for his guidance and past experience on this. It's definitely a different budgeting process from that which I was used to at a post-secondary education or any other level of state government for that matter. So I wanted to let you know that the permit application for the septage project has finally been approved by ADEC for the tank holding part of that system. We can now proceed with moving the tanks as soon as the cover retrofit has been completed and we can get them scheduled on the ferry. We hope to be able to transport them soon, and we're putting out an RFQ for installation for this spring. Some of the unanticipated regulatory provisions that were required from ADEC that we didn't think we really needed to have, they've said we have to have. And so these include some high-level alarms and some additional site prep that's going to require, well, it'll require probably an NCO to move some more funds for the project. But we won't put that forward until we know a little bit more about the final installation. And we may need to schedule a special meeting so the RFQ can go out. But because this is such an important project for the community and it's a first step towards long-term planning, it's going to alleviate hopefully a lot of problems with pumping septic tanks. We're hoping it won't cost too much more and that it'll get approved for completion. We have completed the Swiffer grant for the compost facility. It's been, I think I reported last time we were working on it. It's now been submitted along with all the various letters of support from different entities. The Good River Bridge CTP application has been uploaded and received by DOT, and now it'll go through its first round of scoring to see if it scores well enough, then they'll move it along to the next part of the process for other folks to decide on. The issue with this is because it's a DOT project and they manage it, even though our engineers said it would cost a lot less than they determined that it would cost, because it's their project, ultimately they have to use certain guidelines for the federal money that they get for it. And so it ends up getting priced out a little more expensive than what we had anticipated, but it's still way less than if we would have to do it ourselves. So we're hoping to do really well in the scoring on that project and that it'll get moved to the next round. As you know, the side path application has been submitted, but this was only completed after we were told that we didn't require the 9.03% match since it was along a state road. So we kind of scrambled to get that in at the 11th hour because it's probably one of the few opportunities we're going to have to be able to qualify for that if it makes it through its scoring rounds, which is similar. It's just a different bucket of funding as an alternative transportation program. It doesn't issue, not this one and the CTP doesn't issue grants to the communities. They issue them to DOT to run those projects. So of course it also takes longer, just so you guys know that. We were encouraged by ADEC as they understood our need for septic issues to be looked at for the future in the community. So they encouraged us to apply for a Village Safe Water capital improvement planning project. And so we also kind of within a week submitted a $75,000 application to the Village Safe Water people for planning for future septage needs. And that now also advances to the scoring process. And so this was a perfect opportunity, and it doesn't come by very often to start planning for long-term community needs, and which would be a second step after the holding tank project, which we envision as kind of a stopgap measure until we can get something bigger and better for the community longer term. When we had met months ago with the congressional delegation about some of our projects, they encouraged us to put the high dollar project in through the congressionally directed spending. So we did that with the DRC main building, and that is due this Friday. And we're working on it with our Solstice folks who will no longer be able to help us after this because one of their main writers is leaving and going and taking another job elsewhere. And so this is kind of the last bit they're going to be able to help us with for a while. Paul and I are sending out drafts of templates for letters of support and getting them from places like, you know, the Park Service and the state delegation and the Visitors Association and places like that. So we're working on that part and giving them other information that they have or that they need that they don't necessarily have access to. So we're working on that. And those are some of our big ticket items we're hoping to get funded. The Marine Facilities Coordinator position was posted, but we haven't really received any applications to date. It's still posted. So if anybody knows anybody that they think might fill in or be able to apply for this, please encourage them. We may have to regroup on the position description, time and duties, and we may have to maybe say that they won't do certain maintenance or carpentry or those kind of duties and have to contract that out so we can get somebody to at least do the main part of the job. And we still want to try to have somebody hired for April. Bite Network has installed the fiber optic cable to City Hall for the 2-year free subscription. We need to work with the Alaska Technical Solutions to make sure that our systems and our server will continue to operate properly. So we're not ready to go live with it yet, but it's hooked up, and Mike, you tested it, right? And it works.
Yes.
Didn't you
worked on mine.
Yeah.
I'm on it right now.
So, but we have a server and a security and everything, and we don't want to connect it until our Alaska technical folks, they're going to come out for a site visit. Like they're due for one anyway. And run us all through all the variables and make sure that all works. And we're not quite ready to give up on HughesNet yet, although we can. What I want to do with them is reduce the contract to the lowest amount of bandwidth possible for a much cheaper billing from them and see how this one works for several months before we give that one up completely. And then the fire hall, we'll have a radio receiver for now until we can get the cable underground in the spring because we can't do that right now. And we don't want wires on top. So, and I believe I went over the at the work session where I went to the Alaska Municipal League Legislative Conference. And I met with various legislators on our projects and priorities. had a meeting with Andy Mills from DOT with Senator Kiel and his staff on all our transportation projects and issues. I also talked about the gravel pit needs with both Senator Kiel and Senator Bishop on the potential equipment to prolong the life of the gravel pits. Met with the governor's chief of staff on several Gustavus projects and issues, including the really difficult remote licensing and real ID issues that people experience in rural Alaska. And so I have a teleconference with them tomorrow afternoon with a couple of our local contractors who this impacts substantially for their drivers here in rural Alaska, having to do with the federal motor carrier standards that they've increased that impact rural Alaska. So. Our beach sign has been, Kathy Hawker fixed it all quite nicely, and it just needs a coating. We bought some stuff called Vandal Guard, and it's a coating that goes over the top of it. So if somebody sprays it or paints on it, that it's easier to clean. It doesn't prevent chainsaws, but it prevents, hopefully we can do that too somehow, but it's going to take a couple of coats of that to go on the signs. So that's some of what, or most of what we've been up to. In
any questions for our city administrator from council members? Councilmember Taylor.
Mostly, again, as is my norm, out of curiosity here, it sounds like this kind of came out of left field on you. So I would love a little bit more detail. You said a $75,000, I'm assuming, dollar application for the Village Safe Water for the septic needs. Do you have any more color you can share on what that looks like? Is that like a match towards something? Is that funds that are committed now? Or what does that look like?
It's for it to get an engineer to be able to look at all the community needs, the septage practices of the entire community. They come in, they do an evaluation, they see what we have now, and they make recommendations for what we may be able to do or how we might be able to achieve that in the future. It has nothing to do, I mean, they might look at the project that we have with the tanks and see if we can improve on that or enhance that or maybe get a dewatering system of sorts for our septic needs, but it's just a planning grant. It's okay. Not an equipment.
So
and there's no match.
Oh, okay. So is this, the grant is for $75,000?
They didn't call it a grant. They called it an application for planning funds. But yeah, I mean, it's like a grant, I suppose, but it's not. It just sort of came up. And they said, why don't you guys apply for this? Because it'll help you in the long run.
Cool. Just to make sure I understood then, was there a cost to us for this application? Or is that the proceeds we would receive if accepted for?
So the only cost was for John to help us throw it together for a few hours of his time. And then I spent time reviewing it all and then putting it all in and uploading it. But that was the only cost, my time and John's time.
Okay.
Was the cost.
Perfect. I read 75,000 and was like, wait.
No. That's the amount we applied for. And I can send you the application, all of you, if you'd like, but we just got it done last week. So it was a quick, but what I've been told, a very thorough job and way more information than other villages have given them for their applications. So I'm hoping that is a good sign for us by giving them our planning documents for our septic, current septic. And, you know, my only fear is, you know, they've got all these rules about what qualifies and what doesn't. And, you know, I just hope there's not somebody out there that goes, oh, well, you don't qualify because of this little thing over here. But they reached out to us and asked us to apply for it.
Cool.
So we went ahead and did it.
Awesome. I'm happy to see you both be so, I guess, flexible and able to move fast and make that happen. So great. Thank you.
Yeah.
And am I correct that Village Safe Water actually manages that grant? Would they?
Yeah, because I asked.
We don't actually have to contract it. I think they're
they handle
all that for us. So
they have their own in-house engineers. Because I asked if we could use our engineer for it, because he's familiar with the area, if we could use any of those funds towards that. And I don't think they can. I think they put it out to bid. I don't know that it precludes him from bidding. He might be able to bid on it, but...
But they manage it.
So, yeah. And some of the money's for permits, and some of it's for a couple of other things. Some of it's for, most of it's for engineering, but there's a couple of other line items that it's for, but there was no match requirement. So.
Yeah. I think the way we, it may inform possible options for going beyond mere storage here to some sort, some level of processing, either dewatering so we ship less sludge, or dewatering plus, say, composting of the sludge, or otherwise disposing of land spreading or whatever, which would get rid of shipping entirely and allow us to process all of the septage entirely within Gustavus, which would be a big step and would be a big improvement. So, but the first step is for us to do our storage project so that we can pump tanks more quickly and get that processed in Juneau while we continue to work towards maybe more processing of it, you know, entirely locally. That's kind of the approach.
Something sustainable, and maybe as the technology gets better for sludge composting in our kind of climate, or we have an updated facility, which is one of the grants we have written for, you have to do that in a completely separate bay. You can't mix that with food waste and stuff because it has to be tested differently. So, because I did that out at the park a long time ago. So, but you know, if we can get money towards figuring out what'll work best for us, I'm all for that. So I hope you guys are too.
Any other questions? Councilmember Owens.
Thank you. I guess a comment is that I was just reading an article today or yesterday about PFAS and toilet paper and how it seems to be a considerable amount. And they're thinking that this is what's contributing to the PFAS in sludge. I'll circulate the article if I haven't already deleted it. But I wanted to ask about the side path. And it looks like the original goal or objective was to run it out to the park. But the sketch shows it sort of ending at the... Good River Corner. And on page 60 of the packet, it asks if it was part of a larger plan and says, ideally, the project would be completed in conjunction with a similar project going out to the park. So are we proceeding with a request for sort of plan A of a plan A and plan B? We're not actually going to try and take it all the way out to the park at this time?
No, because when they came back with the price tag of what it would be all the way out there, because mm-hmm. this project's been going on for so many years, you know, it was priced out way before my time and it's been priced out a few times. And we decided when we first talked to DOT, when the price tag was going to be so high going to the park boundary, that it would be unaffordable, number one. And number two, we didn't know we weren't going to have the match at that point, which was another reason we decided we'd only go to Good River. So we thought, well, let's see how it works that far. And if it works and we can deal with, you know, the maintenance and everything else that goes along with that, then maybe we go to phase two. And then the park, of course, has talked about maybe through their systems being able to continue it out once it's in the park. But for now, we're taking this step to only to there.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the reference in there to the extension to the park means from the park boundary to Bartlett Cove, which would be on the Park Service. Our project, as we envisioned in the scoping document, which Council Member Muscoviac wrote up, was to go essentially from the school or the airport all the way to the park boundary with a branch down Dock Road. So what we're viewing this as sort of a phase one that's, we hope, doable. And as the represents the highest priority section of it, and we'll learn a lot by doing it, and that we can use what we learn to inform the rest of the project, which we would do in successive stages, I believe, you know, assuming that we can get funding and so forth. So we'll hope we're successful in this piece of it. Okay, any other questions for Kathy on her report? I just want to once again thank Kathy for her tremendous work on these grants. I'm in here enough to see how much she's working on this, and it's phenomenal. And the detail that she addresses in this to get, she thinks of all the people we could possibly get supporting letters from, people I never would have thought of. And she works to get those letters, and they all go into the application, and those things all add up to improve our scoring. And so thank you very much, Kathy, for just great work on all these grants from Swiffer all the way down to the side path and the DRC things, the Good River Bridge and all that. It's phenomenal work. So thanks. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to just managing those projects is going to keep us busy for sure. Okay, well, that finishes our staff reports. We go on to public comment on non-agenda items. And this public comment period is for non-agenda items only, and it's not intended for discussion with the council, but the council may ask clarifying questions. So if any members of the public would like to make comment on a non-agenda item at this time, please click the participants button and then raise the hand icon to raise your hand. If you do not have that option, unmute your phone. The clerk will add you to the list and remute you until it's your turn to speak. Please state your full name when speaking for the record, and refrain from speaking if your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. And of course, we'll use respectful language at all times. We'll have one more opportunity at the end of the meeting. Do any members of the public wish to make a public comment on a non-agenda item at this time? Don't have anybody in the room here, and I'm not seeing any hands come up on my screen here. So I guess none at this time. There'll be another opportunity at the end of the meeting. So we'll move on to the consent agenda. And we have two items on the consent agenda. The first one is our monthly certificate of records destruction. And I think this time it was some old grant stuff. Grants and some old accounts payable and so forth, records that are due to cycle out of our record, our retained records at this point. So thanks to our clerk for diligent and we have to admit tedious work that it takes to stay up on keeping our records in proper order. And so there's that item. And then the introduction of FY23 NCO. It's an introduction of capital for capital project funding for the radio repeater tower installation. We are moving from capital funds $43,000 to support that project, and it's about to go out to bid, or it is out to bid, I'm sorry. And if we need to, well, this item will have public hearing at the April 10 meeting. And if for some reason we find we don't have enough money in that and we need a little more, we can adjust it in April at that time with an amendment. But for now, we're just introducing that NCO. It'll be published this week and available for public hearing in April. So those are the two items. I believe Councilmember Tanya Lewis has a motion for us on this.
I move to adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent as presented.
We have a second.
I'll second.
Vice Mayor Kyle Bishop seconds. So it's been moved and seconded to adopt the consent agenda by unanimous consent. Are there any? I forgot to ask one thing. I skipped over an item here, and I'm supposed to ask whether any members of the public wish to move either of these items from the consent agenda. Now that we've got a motion here. Okay, seeing none, do any council members wish to move any of these items from the consent agenda and put them in new business? Okay, seeing none then, are there any objections to adopting the consent agenda by unanimous consent? Okay, seeing none, the consent agenda is adopted by unanimous consent, items 5 and 6 on the agenda there. And that moves us to ordinance for public hearing. And the first item is NCO, FY23-14 NCO. It's the capital account transfer. It was introduced at the February meeting. And let's pull it up on the screen here. I'll try to get to it in my paper packet here as well. Okay. And this one, you recall from when we introduced it last month, is merely closing out two projects and returning the extra money that we had appropriated for those projects back to our capital improvement long-term savings line. And so we are moving the remaining $10,697.61 from the DRC pre-processing storage project completed and $9,930.34 left over from the DRC hazardous waste facility project, those both moving back to the capital improvement long-term savings. And let me just wait here a second, I'll get on top of this. Okay, so the time is now 7:54, and this is a public hearing item, so I will open the floor for public hearing on this item. Do any members of the public wish to speak on this agenda item? Don't have anybody in the room here, and I'm not seeing any hands come up on the screen, so we'll close the public hearing at 7:54. And we'll move to a motion on this item from Council Member Owens. I believe you had a motion. We're scripted for you on this one. Just noticed. Probably catching you off of guard here to move to adopt FY23-14 NCO capital project account transfer. Be this right here.
I move to adopt FY23-14 NCO capital project account transfer.
Okay, thank you. Do we have a second on this item? Councilmember Taylor has seconded the item. So it's been moved and seconded to adopt FY23-14 NCO, the capital project account transfer as introduced at the February 13, 2023 meeting. Do any council members wish to comment on this? I'll open the floor for a council debate. Pretty straightforward. Okay, seeing none, will the clerk please call the roll for a vote?
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yay.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Motion passes with all council members in favor.
Okay, thank you. We'll close out those accounts and make that money available for other projects. That finishes our section on items for public hearing. We only had that one item. We have no unfinished business from the last meeting, so we move on to new business. And under new business, the first item is the review of the Gustavus Visitors Association marketing plan, 2023 marketing plan, and their budget request of $36,000 for inclusion in our budget. And Councilmember Owens again has a motion for us.
Okay. I move that the Gustavus City Council support the Gustavus Visitors Association 2023 marketing plan and the inclusion of their FY24 budget request of $36,000 to the FY24 City of Gustavus draft budget.
Okay, do we, it's been moved. Do we have a second on this item, please?
I'll second.
Vice Mayor Bishop has seconded the motion to approve, the motion made that the Gustavus City Council supports the Gustavus Visitors Association 2023 marketing plan and the inclusion of their FY23 budget request of $36,000 to the FY24 City of Gustavus budget. Okay, so we have, before we go to public comment, I'll mention that we have discussed this plan in our work session. And that $36,000 is in our draft budget for the line for the GVA in the FY24 operating budget. So at this point, I'll invite public comment on this item. Do any members of the public wish to comment on the Gustavus Visitors Association marketing plan and their budget request? Yeah, I'm not seeing, there's nobody in the room here, and I'm not seeing any hands come up on the screen. So I'll bring it back to the council, and I'd like to call on Council Member Taylor first for a statement here.
Yeah, as you all know, I'm a paid contractor for the Gustavus Visitors Association, and so I would like to formally declare a conflict of interest on this budget item, or at least on this discussion, although I'm a bit further conflicted because Leah Oaken had to go to London on some urgent family affairs and has been dealing with some more urgent things there. And so I've also prepared to address any questions the council has. So I'm not sure exactly how that fits into me recusing myself from the discussion as a council member necessarily. But essentially I should probably recuse myself from voting on this, seeing as I have a slight financial impact or benefit from it.
Okay, Council Member Taylor has declared a possible conflict of interest on this item because he is employed as a consultant for the web work at the Gustavus Visitors Association. So he has some stake in their budget. And I find that I agree that he has a conflict of interest. So I will recuse you, Councilmember Taylor, from discussion on this and from voting on it. And if there are questions that council members have about this that we can't resolve from the printed copy, then we can postpone until Leah is available. You know, Leah had a death in her family, so she's in London, and I told her I was certainly understanding that she would not call in the middle of the night when she's involved with that family affair now. So do any other council members have a question on or comment on the operating plan or that inclusion of their budget request in our operating budget? Councilmember Lewis.
Yeah, I fully support this budget item. There are some things I just wanted to share, a couple concerns that I have about the plan. And, you know, I've been here a long time, and I'm happy to share these with Leah or the rest of GBA when they get back. But I really don't like the term branding of Gustavus. It actually makes me go, so any other way to say that, it just makes it sound like Gustavus is up for sale and we're going to rebrand it. And I like a lot of the strategic initiatives of increasing, visitors, independent travelers, stay time, and all that. And a lot of this, I really appreciate the sustainability portion of this. My concern right now is we don't have a lot of places for people to stay. And so if we are talking about, and I know GVA has been working on marketing for a long time, this is nothing new, but with the video and the rebranding, you know, if too many people come here and there's no places to stay, and it's a real issue, you know, I guess I'd like to see or wonder, I'm not going to tell GVA what to do it by any means, but like, can GVA help with that problem? Because even last summer, there was people in RVs camped all summer. And I know we'll have an RV park, but will they stay there? You know, it's just the more people that come here, the more our social problems, our legal problems, you know, could with people comes trouble. So I just wanted to throw that out. I support this, but I hope that the GVA can just keep that in mind. Not everybody wants growth just for growth's sake. I want our businesses to succeed, but I don't want too many people here than our community can handle. So
any other questions or comments from council members?
So just a general, as I'm not sure if now is the time we can get this information, but of a little bit more information about when they say like promoting and displaying the community garden and the recycling center. I'm just curious as to, you know, what that would actually look like and what plan there was or what they had in mind for that.
I can try to. Maybe it has to do with part of the branding issue, but I think their intent is for people to or for the visitor association wants to feature the great things there are here in Gustavus that draw visitors here, that make them want to spend another day maybe in our community and get around and see things. The community garden and the DRC are a couple of our bright spots, and the library. Visitors already go to the library. And so it's a matter of featuring what, you know, is really great about who we are as a community and what makes us distinctive. the kinds of things we have in our vision statement and in our community plan. So I think it's about promoting that, making sure that people are aware that those places are a couple of highlights in Gustavus, and they may want to drop by, see what's going on at the garden, for example. I know branding has an advertising feel to it, but I'm not quite so bothered by the term, maybe because I've worked in business a lot, but branding is not just like a logo or something like that, like some people think. And it's about the image that we put out as a, in this case, as a community. If it were a business has a brand. It's what they're all about and the things they do that should be attractive to their customers and that maybe they're proud of. And so for us as a community, I see our brand as being an ecotourism hotspot, for one thing, a place with a great environment, a place with a kind of community that's got a lot of great things going on in it, and that would be an interesting place for visitors to come and stay at the lodges and enjoy their time in our community. So I think that's what that's about. But I do understand the concept of branding is sometimes off-putting to some people, so that's okay too. Any other comments on this before we go to a vote on this? Okay, so we have I'll repeat that the motion is that we've moved that the Gustavus City Council supports the Gustavus Visitor Association 2023 marketing plan and the inclusion of their 24 FY24 budget request of $36,000 to the FY24 City of Gustavus draft budget. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Taylor?
Oh,
I'm recused.
All right, thank you. Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Okay, that is 6 members in favor. The motion passes.
Thank you. And thanks to Councilmember Taylor for recusing himself on this item. And I think since we've covered this, we've sort of approved this $36,000 going into our operating budget that Councilmember Taylor won't need to recuse himself again when we actually deal with the whole budget. It'll just be one item that we've already addressed and the rest of the council has approved it. So I think we're okay going forward in the rest of our discussions on that. Okay, so that's item 8. That takes us to item 9, which is to award RFQ FY23-03 for the Hardin Beach Trail. And we've had that out for bid, and the winning bidder was Glacier Bay Construction with a bid of $24,760 for that trail. The project's being managed by John Berry as our contracted city engineer, project manager. And I will do the motion on this, in which I move to award the contract for the Gustavus Beach Hardin Beach Trail as described in RFQ FY23-03 to Glacier Bay Construction, Inc. in accordance with their quotation dated March 7, 2023 in the amount of $24,760. May we have a second, please?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been seconded also by Councilmember Driscoll. to award RFQ FY2303 for the Hardin Beach Trail to Glacier Bay Construction. Do any members of the public wish to make any comments on this item? We'll open the floor for public comment on this new business item. Okay, seeing none, do any council members wish to comment on this item? Councilmember Lewis.
So I've been looking through the scope of work and just wondering if there's any provisions about invasive plants being, because I assume there's going to be equipment, right, in the beach for kind of one of the first times that we've had some equipment down there. Yeah. And, right now I don't know of any invasive species down there on that side of the road to the river. But if, for instance, reed canary grass were to get there, it would absolutely change the whole vegetation structure there. So I'm not an expert in that. I had the concern about heavy equipment going down there. And I know there are ways to clean that equipment before it goes to eliminate or at least reduce the chances of weed seeds getting down there. So I'm wondering if it's too late to add that, if that we could make that a provision.
I think that is a great point, and it's something I did not think of when I did the original project description, and John didn't add it in his thing, but we can do that. We have a meeting with the contractor tomorrow, and we'll probably, my guess is we would have like one bobcat down there or something about like that, a bobcat style thing. So it should be fairly easy to wash off the tracks of it to make sure that we're, the last thing we'd want to be Polaris in there, as you note. So very good point. I'll follow through on that as we process the project. Any other questions on this? Councilmember Taylor.
This is not nearly as interesting or thoughtful as Anya's comment, which I fully support what she's getting at there. But I'm a little confused that did they just write the wrong date on their form? It says date of bid February 6th, and this was open for bid on March 7th. So I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around that.
I'm sorry. I believe the date of their bid was March 7th.
Okay.
So it's their quotation was dated March 7th. And I think the closing date, if I recall, was March 8th or something like that. Am I correct on that, Madam Clerk?
Yes.
Treasurer confirms that.
Okay.
So does that answer the question?
Yeah, they must have just written the wrong date on the form, and that's totally fine. I thought it was funny that they somehow knew all about this some months and a day before we put it out there.
But that and the form, actually the form that you have in the packet is our bid tabulation. So if there's an error, what you're seeing is not their form but our form.
Gotcha.
So because we tabulate the bids, when we open the bids, we read them aloud, and in this case Glacier Bay Construction was the only bidder. So.
Okay.
If there's no further, any other discussion? Have I missed anybody? Okay. Very well, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Councilmember Makowiak.
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll.
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor.
Yay.
Councilmember Bishop.
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis.
Yes.
Councilmember Owens.
Yes.
And Mayor Taylor.
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Thank you. Look forward to moving forward with that project. It's been something we've promised to get done for a long time, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it happen and improving the accessibility to those key areas in the beach park for some people that at this point would find it hard to get there. Okay, so with that, we'll move to item 10 to award the RFQ FY23-02 the public library bike shelter project. And this project also closed just recently, and the winning bidder on it was Terra Construction. That's Matt Davis's firm. His quote dated the 28th of February was in the amount of $35,795 to build the public library bike shelter. I think you're all aware of the details on that shelter. So I believe we have a motion scheduled for this from Vice Mayor Bishop, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to award the contract for the Gustavus Public Library Bike Shelter as described in RFQ FY23-02 to Terra Construction in accordance with their quotation dated February 28th, 2023 in the amount of $35,795.
Okay, thank you, Vice Mayor. Do we have a second on this?
I'll second that.
Been seconded by Councilmember Taylor to award the contract for the Gustavus Public Library Bike Shelter as described in RFQ FY23-02 through Terra Construction in accordance with their quotation dated February 28, 2023 in the amount of $35,795. Do any members, we'll open this for public comment. Do any members of the public wish to comment on this agenda item? Hey, I'm not seeing any hands come up anywhere, so I'll bring it back to the council table for discussion. Do any council members have anything to say about this? The award of the bike shelter project. Okay, I'm seeing none. So, Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call vote, please?
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thank you. We'll look forward to moving that one forward, and I'll be meeting, the project manager on this one is John Berry, and John and I will be meeting with a contractor soon to get the project underway. Okay, that brings us to item 11, which is a resolution, CY23-03, ADOT and PF pedestrian bicycle side path application submission. And we have a resolution that I'll read in after we have the motion. And this resolution supports our grants. It's part of the great work done by both Councilmember Muscoviac on this project and our City Administrator Kathy Leary. And the text meets the needs of the DOT that will be evaluating our grant application and for them to build this bike path for our community. So I believe we have a motion from Councilmember Muscoviac on this project.
I move to adopt resolution CY23-03, declaring eligibility to submit an application to the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for use of Transportation Alternatives Program funds set for by MAP 21 for the pedestrian bicycle side path project and authorizing the mayor of the city of Gustavus, Alaska, to sign the application and future project agreements.
Thank you. A second, please.
Seconded.
Seconded by Councilmember Owen. So it's been moved and seconded to adopt resolution CY23-03, declaring eligibility to submit an application to the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for the use of Transportation Alternatives Program funds set for by MAP 21 for the pedestrian bicycle side path project, and authorizing the mayor of the city of Gustavus, Alaska, to sign the application and future project agreements. And I will read the resolution and then I'll offer opportunities for the public to comment. You've heard the title of it. I won't go through that one again. Whereas the city of Gustavus, Alaska has received a request from the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to nominate projects for inclusion in the Alaska Transportation Alternatives Program funds as outlined in ADOT and PF's application packet for 2023 to 2026. And whereas the city of Gustavus, Alaska is participating as an eligible project sponsor in the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities Transportation Alternatives Program. And whereas federal monies are available under the Transportation Alternatives Program administered by the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for the purpose of creating and promoting the planning and development of active transportation facilities and programs in Alaska. And whereas the city of Gustavus, Alaska acknowledges that the proposed facility would exist in the state right of way and a 9.03 match will be covered by DOT and PF. And whereas the city of Gustavus, Alaska acknowledges availability of an additional contribution of at least 1%. And whereas after appropriate public input and due consideration, the governing body of the city of Gustavus has recommended that an application be submitted to the state of Alaska for the pedestrian bicycle side path project. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the governing body of the city of Gustavus, Alaska, section one, that the city of Gustavus, Alaska does hereby authorize the mayor of the city of Gustavus, Alaska to submit and sign an application to the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for Alaska Transportation Alternatives Program funds on behalf of the citizens of Gustavus, Alaska. Section two, that the city of Gustavus, Alaska hereby assures the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities that sufficient funding of an additional 1% matching contribution for the pedestrian bicycle side path project is available. Section three, that the city of Gustavus, Alaska hereby assures the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities that the city of Gustavus, Alaska will commit to management and maintenance and operations responsibilities that are that sufficient funding for the pedestrian bicycle side path project will be available for the life of the project. Section four, that the city of Gustavus, Alaska authorizes the execution of an agreement with the state promising to provide the funding commitments and management responsibilities and maintenance and operation responsibilities identified within the project application, and authorizes the chief project sponsor to sign the project agreement detailing those commitments. So that's the resolution that we have before us. Do any members of the public wish to comment on this agenda item? Any hands in the audience? Okay, seeing none, do council members wish to comment on this item? This is a big project for us and really an important one in my view. I think it's pretty well supported, but council member Taylor, you're reaching for your mic.
Yeah, I noted in our work session, and I guess we'll note again, that the only thing that even makes me at all, that could possibly make me concerned about this is the consideration of maintenance and operations responsibilities. And I am wondering, I'm noting that it says within the project application, and I guess this is really on me to get those documents in front of me so that I can get a clear picture there, but I'm still curious. I just want to make it known that I am curious about what those actually entail and what the costs, like 10 years from now, are we going to end up, you know, repaving an entire bike path down the side of the road and need to get like a pavement machine, or, you know, that's where my head is at if I'm trying to be, you know, I guess conservative on what this looks like.
Kathy, do you want to respond on that one? I see you reaching for your mic.
Well, because the project is going to be their engineering and design, we don't know if it's going to be paved or if it's going to be chip sealed or if it's going to be a hardened path at this point. So that is, I seriously doubt it's going to be paved. They have to do right away, you know, investigations. They have all kinds of things they have to do before I think they even get to that point. And so until we, A, score appropriately and get on to the next step to see if we would even make it through this process, we would then know more about the materials and what type of maintenance that we would need to do. So there are some unknowns, I agree. We also know it's in the state right away, so there's maybe some negotiations there at some point, but I can't tell you any more about that until we get, I mean, they've got some details in their pricing estimate, but that doesn't mean at the end of the day, if it makes it through, that's how it's going to be designed. They have federal standards they have to follow too.
Yeah, and I appreciate the insight there on that. Definitely by no means anything that I would consider worth, you know, not putting this to the next step over, because definitely this is something that we all want to have in the community. I just, as we progress, if we have any opportunity to try and negotiate towards a lower cost maintenance alternative or something that might put a little bit more of that into the state's hands, if we can, that seems like something to at least have in the back of our minds if possible.
I think I can add to that. When they get into the design phase, typically a project like this would have first they'll do a planning thing, you know, decide on the route in general, and they would probably do about a 20% design and then get comment from us as sort of the owner of the project. And we would have a lot of room to influence things like the character of the surface. I too would prefer not to have it asphalted. It makes for a nice driving surface or bike riding surface, I know, but is fraught with more maintenance issues. Not that easy to fix if something goes wrong. Whereas if it's a compacted crushed gravel or some similar material where we can just recompact it, grade it or whatever, it's much easier for us to, it's a lot like maintaining a gravel road. In other words, we would probably have to snow plow it, perhaps with a bobcat. So that's the kind of thing we could add to the road maintenance contract to cover the plowing of that. We would also need to work with DOT because we're in there right away. They're going to be plowing and so forth. They also cut brush and mow along the edge of the right away or the edge of their road. So we would need to coordinate with them so that the maintenance that we each do doesn't cause problems for the other. And I think that would particularly be important when we're snow plowing, make sure they're not just plowing their snow onto the bike path and then we got to dump all of that someplace. So there are things like that we can work out with them. But your point about being concerned about future costs of big infrastructure projects like this is well taken. And when we build something like this, we take on liability for the future for maintenance and eventually for replacement. So something important to consider. Other comments from Councilmember Driscoll?
So I fully support the idea of having a bike path. And as I've been driving the road these last couple of weeks thinking about where this bike path would go, I see that there's ditches on, you know, either side of the road. The ditch is on one side of the road and then it's on the other side of the road. I see envisioning, like, so you're saying it's 6 feet off the road and then 6 feet wide. And I'm not sure whether that includes the original, the shoulder that's there, But I see there's a lot of, you know, trees, and I'm just kind of curious as to the physical limitations as to where this would, you know, how it's going to work.
Yeah, I can quickly answer, and then Councilmember Muscoviac may want to chime in. We don't know exactly which side of the road will go on. It's possible it could run over the intertie line where it's already been cleared. Perhaps in doing so wouldn't have to relocate a ditch. But a lot of those questions are just going to have to be worked out when the planners and engineers look at the route and come up with what they think is the best routing of it. So we'll just have to work with them to make sure that we agree with the kinds of decisions they're making, I think. Does that help?
Sure. It's hard for me to visualize actually where it's going to go. And so I realize this is just a process, and that there's the plan is yet to be made, but I do look at it and see that there's some physical limitations if you're going to add 12 feet to either side of the road.
Definitely true. And there'll be some places where they're going to have probably be some trees go away, or maybe a ditch has to be moved over, or a culvert, you know, all those are issues that the engineers will have to look at in detail. Councilmember Muscoviac, do you want to add anything on that? I know you've given this a lot of thought.
Well, yeah, the engineering plan, or the cost estimate that the Department of Transportation put together, I mean, made this, you know, this is a consideration of theirs, where to put it. And they've come to some ideas, though I haven't seen a map. I will say that, you know, the idea with a side path is to make it safe, and safe means keeping it away from the road. So it won't be an extension of the shoulder of the road. It'll be about 6 feet away from that. And then the path will be there. And there's plenty of room in the right of way to do that. And they can do a lot of it if they choose above where the intertie was put.
Okay, good. Any other comments or questions? Okay, well, in that case, I guess we're ready for a vote to approve this. Madam Clerk, may we have a roll call, please?
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Mayor Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yay.
Councilmember Lewis?
Yes.
Councilmember Muscoviac?
Yes.
Motion passes with all in favor.
Okay, thank you. We'll get that resolution into the packet, and keep our fingers crossed for success with DOT on this. If we can get them to fund this, and build it for us. It's a big project and a big improvement for our community. Okay. That brings us to city council reports. Do any council members wish to make a report on any special projects they're doing? We'll also have council questions and comments later, but if you have a project report on anything you're working on, Council Member Lewis.
So I just wanted to put this all on your radar for the end of April, coinciding with the health fair that Seoul and the mayor and others are organizing, as far as I know. We are having Swarupa from Aware come out, and we're working to schedule, as well as the health fair, where she will have a table, another community discussion night. I'm not sure when exactly it'll be at this point, but during her same visit here. So that will be a follow-up to Claire Geldof's visit, and with a focus on sexual violence and domestic violence and advocacy and resources and that sort of thing. So she's also hoping to work with the emergency response crew, which I think Seoul is probably organizing. So anyway, it'll be a big weekend if we can squeeze, we'll squeeze as much out of her as we can. So that's it. Thanks.
Wonderful. And thank you for continuing to follow up on that important item. I'm really pleased to have you doing that. So we look forward to having a WARE here and to provide help to our community. Any other projects anybody, Councilmember Driscoll?
So I mentioned earlier that I was looking into some options of all-terrain beach wheelchairs. And so I've been talking with people in the public and getting some good responses on that. And in addition, I think a great suggestion was to also have a similar type of a walker. And I've looked into it in the same company that makes beach trail chairs with these big honking tires that can go over on this gravel also make a similar type of a walker. And that would then, you know, be like the walker you see people using, but with these big tires and a place to sit and to rest. And so I've been continuing looking at various options of those and talking with people and getting some good responses from some of the community.
Great. If you'd like to put together maybe one of the short form of a scoping document, we can get that to you, or the clerk can. Maybe we can make this a small capital project. And I like the idea of doing both the wheelchair and the walker. Mm-hmm. So let's write that up in a scoping document and get it before the council, maybe in April. Yeah.
I have a question about that. Just in consideration when you're putting it together, if you would please also include storage, maintenance, staff time, all of those things that it will take in order for the city to facilitate the use of that.
So it'll be, I mean, I have ideas on the storage, and that would be a question. One of the ideas is that behind the existing bathrooms, there's a there's a cement pad, and I don't know the purpose of that. I don't know whether it could be just a roof put over it, and it could be a place where they are stored. And the various people I've been asking, and I've been putting that out as well, if it was the storage of it was near where the bathrooms is, does that seem doable, workable? And most people have said resoundingly yes. So I don't know if that's an option. That will take more looking into. I can get you the information in terms of what the items cost and the various places that I've found to purchase them from. But in terms of the actual building and storage, I would need some assistance with that.
Yeah, I'm just talking about also getting it checked out, getting it checked back in, having it secured, what kind of parts it might need and how it would be prevented from being vandalized, all of those things.
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, I think it's all open for discussion at this point. It's just a brainstorming thing. And that, you know, it could be that it doesn't need to be checked in or checked out. And I have to think that if someone was going to vandalize a handicapped wheelchair, that's going pretty slow. And I mean, I think that, you know, I'd like to put it out there that this is, I see it as a way to bring together a fractured community. And I think that there's a huge gulp and a big fracture about the accessibility of the beach to people because we've limited the being able to use a vehicle. And I think that I would just like to go forward with this as a real gesture of trust, and that this is almost a healing gesture, I would like to think.
And I don't disagree with all of those things. I just, knowing our limitations of staff time and all of that, I just want to make sure that's on everybody's radar going forward with something like that. That's all.
I think you could discuss those items in your, you know, as part of your scoping document. My guess is that concrete area is the lid over the vault for the we can check to see if we can build a cover over that without interfering pumping of the vault or anything. That might be a good location for it if it's sufficiently accessible for people to use it there. Okay, any other council reports on things that people are working on? Okay, well, I'll give you a summary of my mayor's report. I'm not going to read all the way through it. It's pretty long, but I wanted to sort of give a summary of where we are and a lot of things going on, just kind of for the record. And I've taken council members Driscoll's suggestion that we need to get these reports out. So I'll actually have an updated one that I give to the clerk to send out. And maybe, Beck, we could add the city administrator's report, send them both out together to the public, so because there's so much in her report that's in, actually has more detail than mine on those grant items. So I'm thankful to our treasurer, Ben Sadler, for working with department heads and our city administrator and me to draft our budget. We had our work session, and he has, at the work session, we identified that we'd left out one key item, and that was the funding for IT services for our computers and everything. So he worked that into the budget, and he and I kind of went through and found some places where we could trim some funding in the budget as we're presenting it at this point. And we also adjusted some revenue levels up as we investigated what our current and recent years' patterns have been. So we were able to balance the budget again with that additional item in there, and retaining we're only listing $100,000 in carryover from the current fiscal year to FY24, that $100,000 being items that we are certain we are not going to be spending this year, but things that we are that are being scheduled for next year. So like the audit, a couple other items that we discussed, I think, previously. So he's worked out a new, adjusted the budget so it balances once again. And we believe we'll have far more carryover than the 100,000 we're planning on. And once we know what our carryover is after the start of the fiscal year, when we can close out the current fiscal year, we can decide how to distribute that carryover. And some of it we may want to distribute back into the budget in areas where maybe we were being a little thin in our planned spending. Some could just go into show as extra revenue going into the budget that could fill gaps that may occur in certain budget line items due to unexpected expenses and the like. And then we also could put a good portion of that into savings or for capital projects. But that's something for us all to discuss in, say, July, or probably August would be when we would be doing that. So the rebalanced budget will be before us at the town hall on Wednesday night, March 15 at 6 p.m. And then we will introduce the NCO. I would like to see it introduced at the April meeting. Is that seem doable, Mr. Treasurer? Yeah, so we would introduce it at the April meeting, schedule public hearing for May 8 general meeting. If necessary, we can adopt it as late as the June meeting, just so we have it done before July 1st. We've talked a little bit about beach sign vandalism, and I wrote several paragraphs there on my feelings about it. It's disappointing when that sort of thing happens, we're pitching in to repair the damage. And I first off want to thank Kathy Hawker for her very nice work to clean and recondition the vandalized beach park sign, the two pieces that said Gustavus Beach, our community park, now for reinstallation. And Ben will be working with, we'll be finding a suitable carpentry contractor to reinstall the two posts that were cut off. I noted in the paragraphs that I won't read in detail, but that there is, in my view, a misconception that the establishment of the park and the closure of it to motor vehicles was not the did not reflect the wishes of the majority of the community. I would take exception with that, given that we had numerous public meetings and the testimony was very strongly in favor of the beach park and of closing it to motor vehicle traffic. That closure also is in line with the requirements of the quieting title that established those two 15-acre tracks on both sides of Dock Road as state property in the settlement with the DeBoer family on their accreted lands. So that that quieting title provides or informs our management and informs the expectations of the state as they go forward to manage it, those two tracks in accordance with the requirements of the title, which quieting title, which says that the uses can, acceptable uses are listed as walking, camping, bird watching, jogging, horseback riding, picnicking, camping, sunbathing, hunting, fishing, recreational boating, beach combing, berry picking, cross-country skiing, and other similar recreational uses. The quote, the next sentence in the quotation says, it is intended that the recreational use be consistent with the natural character of the land and be of low intensity nature. So that low intensity nature and consistent with the natural character of the land would obviate motor vehicle use on the property, in my view, and I think the state's view. So there are lots of places to drive in Gustavus. We have all our gravel roads. We have miles of other trails on property owned by the Mental Health Trust, for example, logging roads, things like that. We can drive to the beach, but don't have to drive on the beach and within the two tracts of land that are the beach park. So we'll be repairing those posts, and I know there were some comments about people didn't like the looks of the dog waste things. We're going to instead of one of those posts was cut up by the chainsaw, and we've decided that we're going to use wooden posts to mount those things, and we won't put the signs up that direct people how to use them. I think everybody knows what they're for. So we will use treated wooden posts to support those, and they will also carry be the same post that has a no vehicle traffic sign on it. So we'll be kind of consolidating that. I think it'll look a little better, and we'll have them back in place by the start of the summer season. So I just hope that our community will continue to respect the view of the great many people who supported the beach park and want to keep it in excellent shape for everybody's use now and on way into the future. Another thing that has been interesting to work on this last couple of months has been the APC electric rates issue. You recall that when the intertie went into operation, the expectation has been ever since it was conceived that the benefit of the extra sales to the park would be spread across the ratepayers in Gustavus, so that the fixed costs are then being shared across more kilowatt hour sales, and we're all benefiting but through lower rates, because the real reason that we have high electric rates here is that we have high fixed costs in the system and not enough electric sales. So as electricity sales go up, we can spread that over more kilowatt hours sold. And so the cost per kilowatt hour can drop. And that has been the intent of the Alaska Power and Telephone Company, their subsidiary, Alaska Power Company. And and that was actually agreed to by the RCA, the Regulatory Commission of Alaska, in 2017, when the original provisions were being made for the intertie construction. But it turned out that the calculation, the way that our bills were calculated, our power cost equalization was being reduced due to the reduced net cost of the base rate plus the COPA, the cost of power adjustment for diesel use. And because the cost of power adjustment became negative as the National Park Service credit was put into that, instead of being a positive thing that just represented diesel, it's the diesel plus the negative or the reduction due to of 11.7 cents per kilowatt hour due to the sales to the park. So because that sum dropped, our power cost equalization credit dropped. And it turned out that the PCE system was getting almost all the benefit of the intertie credit. So that was disappointing, not only to us, but also to AP&T and Jason Custer, their vice president of regulatory affairs, worked with it. He was also really disappointed that it worked out that way, because he wants these kinds of projects to be supported by the public, wants the public to get the benefit of getting off of diesel and be able to have some significant economic benefit when these sorts of projects are done. So he worked with the State Attorney General's office, the RAPA, Regulatory Affairs, something of the Regulatory Affairs and Public Advocacy Office at the State Attorney General that advocates on behalf of ratepayers, and developed a new formula that would apply the credit from the park after PCE, so the PCE is not reduced by the park credit. And that he completed that filing in February, late February, and it's out for public comment currently by the RCA, and we're hopeful that the RCA will approve it, and we'll get a substantial decrease in our electric rates if that's the case. And those decrease in electric rates will make it possible for more people to feel comfortable about getting electric vehicles, using heat pumps and so forth, shifting off of fossil fuels to clean hydropower. And that also can, as we increase the electric sales, can feed back to lower rates in the future. So it's all a big benefit if RCA concurs with this. And I sent out a notice of this to the public a couple of weeks ago with links to for members of the public to make comment. I know at least one family here in Gustavus had commented on it early on, and I haven't seen lately whether there have been more, but the RCA does like to see comments from ratepayers in support of things like this. So if anybody wants to do that, if you need help finding where to do that on the RCA website, let me know. Road maintenance, Glacier Bay Construction has worked really hard during these. We had two or three pretty heavy snows early this month and into February, and they really scrambled to get the roads cleared, and they managed to do it in a way that the timing worked well. We got the roads cleared, and then they've frozen, so they've been pretty smooth for a while. And with this cold weather, that's one benefit of the cold weather. At least the roads are staying smooth; they're not potholing. But we don't have a lot of because of that activity. We don't have a lot of hard pack on most of our roads, so. As a breakup occurs, we hope we won't have a lot of slush to drive through. like we have had sometimes in the past. Let's see, we've approved the bike shelter project. You've heard about the Good River Bridge repair project from Kathy. Salmon River Park playground equipment, I've been working on that. And I put out a request for proposal to five firms to provide playground equipment proposals around a budget of about $20,000. And so far I've got one response on that with proposal, and two or three other firms have said that they will send us proposals, but I haven't seen them yet. And we'll see what kind of things they offer. And then I would be pleased to have ideas from the council members on, you know, what sorts of things we ought to choose. And I'll also check back with the with Ms. McSpadden's class who proposed this originally last fall and see if it looks like we're hitting the kinds of things that they thought would be make for better playground equipment for the older kids, since what we have is really aimed at the youngest of our citizens here. So you've heard about the septage holding facility. My feeling is that we will probably go ahead and put that out for bid, even though we don't have as much money as we now estimate that it could cost. The cost of this, he's thinking that we ought to have $80,555 in the budget for it to cover contingencies and so forth. We may not need that much, but until we get bids in on it, we really don't know. And right now we only have 27,000 remaining in the budget for that. My thought is to go ahead and put it out for bid and award it. I can issue an NTP for only the portion that we have funding for at the time. And at the same time, we can, once we know what the cost really is, we can proceed to do another NCO and fund it the rest of the way. I'm hoping it won't cost that much, but it turned out the regulatory requirements did make it more complicated than we originally thought. So, but I think it's really important to do that. Having a septage storage facility is going to make pumping of tanks throughout Gustavus, and we've got hundreds of them, I'm sure, possible, and hopefully prevent overflows and damage at sites from unpumped tanks. Let's see, Kathy mentioned that we've applied the Village Safe Water Program grant. I think we've covered that. We've just passed the Beach Hardened Trail project RF approval. The fire hall repeater tower project is also being managed by John Berry, and he's developed an RFQ for installation that closes March 21st. And we hope to award that project at the April 10 general meeting. So you've already been updated on the bicycle side path. The Gustavus Dock Way Barrier project is a longer term project for us. I tuned into a federal government webinar on March 8, hoping that it might be a grant source through the Ports Infrastructure Grant Program that's currently available that we could apply for. But it turned out that grant is for freight handling improvements only, and it's not something that our project for our recreational and charter boat fishing operations at the city floats would not qualify. So we'll have to continue to look for other grants on that. We'll work with DOT to see if they can fund and develop the project with infrastructure money at some point. The way barrier will probably mount on the state dock, so it's really their project. We've mentioned the cul-de-sac turnarounds. I've developed a scoping document for that. We're going to lump about five of those turnarounds into one project so that we can do it as a single capital project. We'll use the road maintenance contract probably, but we won't have to draw from our road maintenance operating budget line if we do it as a separately funded capital project. The city heat pump installation, the heat pump system from the manufacturer, Mr. Cool, should arrive here this week. It may have come in already. I haven't had a notice yet, but we knew it was in, as of late last week, it was in Juneau. And they have donated the system for us and even paid for the freight here. So Dean Weichel and I are planning to try out the do-it-yourself technology and install the system here at City Hall. And we will be keeping our oil-fueled heaters as backup for the times when it's particularly cold. The old post office building renovation work will continue when Ken McGowan returns from seasonal work, I think in April or by early May. And we hope that he'll have his bike repair shop in operation by early this summer. We have other drainage projects scheduled for Wilson Road and Same Old Road. I promised to Shelley we'd do that lower portion on Wilson Road, and that's one of the ones that we'll be developing this summer for construction to continue to be able to handle flooding along Wilson. Same Old Road, I'd like to fit in this year if we can get it done. I'm going to work with John Berry on a new policy and procedure for capital project management that sets forth forms and flow charts and procedures so we can improve our consistency in how we manage our capital projects. We got our bridge inspection reports on the Grandpa's Farm Road and Dickey Drive bridges. They were both fine. The inspectors found them in good condition. They were pleased with the construction of those two projects. You heard from Kathy about the BiteNet internet for city buildings. The health fair, we've mentioned, it's that Saturday, April 29. And I'm thankful for our fire chief, Sol Martinez, for organizing this on behalf of the city. And he's working with Tanya Lewis, Colleen Stansberry, Dr. Rod Vaught, and Kelly Warren at Search Clinic. And they're recruiting outside practitioners such as AWARE to participate and provide informational tables. We hope the fair will be a real success. And again, I want to thank Councilmember Tanya Lewis and also our public health nurse, Claire Geldhoff, for organizing and leading the community meeting on Friday, February 10. That got us started on a very important effort here to reduce the risk of abuse of many of our young community members. And thanks also to Brittany Cannamore for hosting the meeting at the Gustavus Community Center. So that's my report. Any of you have any questions on this? Attached to the report, by the way, is the letter that I wrote supporting the filing TA905-2 by Alaska Power Company. If you want more detail on that, that letter had detail on it and why we support it and why we urge the RCA to approve it. Sorry for such a long.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. No, thank you. You always look at me when you're somebody, if you need questions, I'm always there for you.
Thank you. We're glad you are.
I really commend you for this 5-page report. It's just, it's pretty exceptional. I'm particularly grateful for the explanation you gave about the history of the beach park and the efforts to try and preserve that area down there. I have two short questions. One is on the on page one under budget preparation, the end of the first paragraph. It's on page 68. You say that after we close out the accounting, we'll plan to distribute some of the additional unexpended carryover to budget lines such as building, repair, and maintenance. Would the personnel line be one of the budget lines?
It wasn't one that I had thought would likely need it. I think we've covered, we've budgeted adequately for personnel.
Okay.
And, but we did some trimming on building repair and a little bit out of the library supplies or things like that here and there so that we can still balance the budget. And we may want to, you know, if the council, refilling those wouldn't be something we'd have to do even immediately because we're going to have plenty of people. They just may run out before the end of the year is the idea. So we could distribute some for that, but that'd be something we'd bring to the council and it'd be a new NCO.
Okay. That's what I was wondering too. And then my second question is, on page 72, the last page under the new policy and procedure for capital project management. I just thought this was a great idea. Will it also include road maintenance projects, such as the culvert and?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it would work for any public works project, okay. Even a building or whatever. It would set forth, for example, what kinds of projects we use an RFQ for, which ones we use an invitation to bid for, the bigger contract documents, would have forms for all of those, for things like notice to proceed and award and change orders and all that kind of stuff. So we'd have a package that would be and a flow chart that we could follow more consistently. I felt that I haven't always been consistent. Sometimes I didn't do a form or two here the way I should have. So this will, I think, up our game.
Well, I think it'd be a great idea, especially with the scoping documents and how difficult it's been to kind of track them and the two different short form and long form. So I think that this will be a really, really good idea. Thank you.
Thanks. Any other questions or? Okay, I think that brings us to make sure I'm on the schedule here. City Council questions and comments. So if there are things other than we've been discussing that you wanted to raise or comment on or thoughts you've got about something we should be doing. Okay, maybe we're okay on that then. And then that brings us to the final opportunity for public comment on non-agenda items. The drill on that from the previous thing. Do any members of the public wish to make a comment on a non-agenda item at this time? Anybody online wants to raise their hand? Susan Warner.
Greetings, all. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would firstly like to thank you and our city administrator for all your efforts in the project management side of your duties in terms of trying to bring new funding into our community for our ongoing infrastructure needs. Your work and your efforts are very much appreciated. Secondly, I would be interested in having the council looking at the ramifications of the state deciding to proceed with a Cascade Point new ferry terminal 30 miles north of Juneau and what consequences that will have for us in our transportation needs to get to Juneau. That's going to be something that I think we really need to be paying attention to. Thank you for all your efforts and to all the members of the council. It's much appreciated.
Thank you. Do any council members have a question for Susan Warner on her comments there? Hey, Susan. Yeah, I had noticed that comment thing on Cascade Point, and I'll look into it a little more. And if any of the council members have any thoughts on that, if you'd like to get them to the clerk, we could determine whether we want to take some position. Looks like Whitney has her hand up. Whitney, good evening.
Thank you. I know you guys have a very full plate, but I also want to highlight that there is a press release that there was $18 million of PFAS funding coming to the state of Alaska One of the lower hanging fruits would be to get rid of that big pile that's covered near Square Pond and getting that out of town. I don't think that's a project that the city needs to take on, but to press the state, particularly DOT, to see if they're securing any of that funding to get it out of here. Thanks.
Shelley has a question for you.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand you, Whitney. What is it that you would like to have removed from Square Pond?
As you go to Square Pond, there is that large pile that's covered in white plastic. That is all contaminated fill from the airport project. That was the stockpile of everything that was contaminated that they didn't know what to do with. So it's just covered. And eventually it will start leaching, inevitably. The initial thought was that it was going to be removed from the community, but they didn't have the money. So this might be a good opportunity to remind them of that and to secure some of that funding to get it out of here.
Great suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you. Agreed. Any other questions for Whitney on that, on her comment? Okay. Thank you, Whitney. We'll follow up on that. That pile is within the fenced area of the airport. Along there, or not far from the fence. You can see it from sort of that corner of the runway. Okay, I think that brings us to the end of our, Sol, did you want to address us about something?
Sorry to bring this earlier. I got reminded about the health fair. The health fair is happening, and just to let you know that there is a, for people who are interested in getting blood testing, the blood tests, the part of the side, there is a online sign up that is posted out. Feel free to contact me if you would like help signing up for it. It is online, alaskahealthfair.org. And it's posted our city posters, post office, library, and I believe here as well. But
And the clerk can also, if anybody calls the clerk can give you information on that too here at City Hall. Any questions for Sol on that?
I went online and I signed up, but I see that there's like very limited number of slots. And my question is like, are they going to be, keeping to that schedule, are you expecting that most people will sign up? Can people continue? Can they come if they didn't sign up? Or
that question I can pass along to the organization. They're the ones that actually set the sign up forms, everything. I can ask them because my idea is generally is that's how much they have available. The blood draws are at a discounted price, so I'm not sure how much, if they're making any money at all. It is a nonprofit, so I don't think they're expecting to make money. It just, I can pass along and see if I can get email it to you tomorrow.
And then when I went to sign up, it was a little bit of a cumbersome process to follow the links and to get to sign up. And so I might suggest that maybe another email out to the community to detail how to do it with more links and more information might be helpful, because I know in the past we've not signed up, and so this seems to me to be something new, and I think that it's probably really important that people do sign up and to make it as informative as we can to the public to make sure that they do sign up.
Yeah, I do agree. I mean, last year it was canceled because not enough people signed up for it. And it was because I think it was the sign up, it wasn't new. And that's part of the reason I announced it so early on. So give, I looked at it too, and it's on it's the sign up form is on the same page. You don't click on the other links. It's Alaska. I can look at it again, but the one time I looked at it, it's just you scroll down and I can't. Give another link, but I can look and see if we make it a little easier than another, but
thank you.
And I guess if somebody needs some help, call Sol and he'll help them get signed up. So yeah, I really hope the health fair will be a success and that even next year we'll do even better with it. And so let's try to make the most of it. Okay, anything else, council members? Well, yawning and sometimes at this point I think of poem by the late poet Richard Armour, who said, "I love a finished speaker, I really truly do. I don't mean one who's polished, I just mean one who's through." So good night, everybody. We'll call it adjourned.
Good way to end it, Mike.